Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple areas here I'd like to touch on. I don't have all the legal stuff about it, so I'm merely asking a question one way and another way. I am hoping to be to get some clarification where possible you can give me. Now, I can start with this one that would tie into another one. I was listening to my radio last week and I heard the minister responsible for food security. And he was speaking about the river tamarins that it cut down from somewhere, I guess, on part of St. Michael's to help with some fuel for the factories. And I believe it's a young lady that asked a very important question. What are you going to do with this land now he has cleared of river tamarins? And he said he's going to turn it over to the beautification park we have over there, Botanical Garden. Now, I have the opinion that with the food bill so high, and at this time we short of funds, I don't think we need more beautification at this present moment. We need some land work up and get some food, and especially some food that is good for your body too, rather than some of the ones that is imported with all these chemicals and stuff. That's one section. The other part relating to that same food security is the crime issue. We have some issues with crime. People getting bail, prison full of people, you got to feed them, and they have one city with X amount of money to feed one prisoner. So if you multiply that by years, you can imagine the amount of money we pay for that guy. And that might be for one kind of charge. You might go and let a fellow charge for murder. And I believe some cases you let him out because the amount of time that you got to keep it there and feed him, it's more easy to let him out and let him fend for himself. My suggestion is, and I'm asking, if, when we have Amnesty International, and I believe that's a body that oversees certain issues, why it is that we have to still follow that module at this point in time where we have all this nonsense going on? I heard the U.S. president had some kids taken away from the parents and had them in cages. I don't remember hearing Amnesty saying that that was wrong. I heard the president went, and I think that's not mistaken, he was the first president went to North Korea and visit the gentleman down there, and all I heard was how good this sport, how they're good friends, and he's a nice guy, which is his perfect thing. He's a very nice fella. Me, he got along well. I don't remember hearing Amnesty or anybody, I could be wrong, asking what kind of discussion you have with him, even if some related to the conditions that some of the citizens of your country is living under. I didn't hear that from Amnesty. There was a time before that, when we had the earthquake in Haiti, there was a number of people from some organizations that caught trying to take some kids through the back door, you understand? They had to stop them from taking these kids through the back door. I didn't hear Amnesty on that either. So here is my thing here with this crime situation in Barbados. You're going to be saying that some stuff is inhumane. Why can't we get some of these prisoners that are causing all this trouble to work up some ground? What become of hard labor? That is a thing of the past because of Amnesty or Barbados law. Why can't we get some prisoners that we got to be feeding every day and bedding and medicals? And when they come up, they're getting money too. Why can't they go out and work up some designated areas, plant some food that will help the prison, because presently they're working ground at Dodds. Why can't they come out with the program they had in Waterford and rain? So that will have been inhumane as well.
Sir, the analogies you're drawing, I must tell you, are a little bit incorrect. And I'll tell you why. Dodds Prison was close to Waterford, and that's why the prison farm was located in Waterford, because there couldn't be a farm inside Dodds Prison. The people who were in prison...
In Glendary.
There were people in Glendary who worked in the kitchen. They baked bread in there. They had people working in the mechanics area doing some work there as well. When they went to Dodds, I was surprised that they had to ask for permission to farm in what was a farm area that had to be converted to put a prison. But the fact that they, as you say, that they are working the land there means that they are cultivating and supplying themselves with food. The problem is that you can't have what's known as forced labor, because forced labor is forced labor. Now, there are countries that still have on their statute books sentences that go with hard labor. I don't know what is designated as hard labor in those countries. I can't speak off the top of my head, and I don't like to speak when I don't know. And again, I don't know if Barbados's laws still permit hard labor as part of the sentencing. So while it is possible to have a farm labor program where the people who work, who are in prison and are not considered dangerous, or, you know, they could be allowed out, are allowed to assist with farming, to provide food for the rest of the inmates, to work in the kitchen, to work in the bakery and bake their own bread. And they learn skills while they're there. They're barbers, they're people who learn tailoring, they're people who learn skills while in jail, depending on the programs that are in place at the particular jail, wherever it's located. I've seen it in other Caribbean islands as well. You refer to Amnesty International, and Amnesty International, I think it makes statements from time to time based on, I suppose, what they see as being part and parcel of their remit. Sometimes people ascribe things to Amnesty International that don't come from Amnesty International. We signed on to the International Court, which we follow their rules and principles because of the benefits that being part of the court would allow us. There's sometimes we get loans, sometimes we get grants, some of them to do with penal reform. And if we sign on to them, then we abide by their rules and principles. It is called what you bend to accommodate. There are countries in the world that don't care about it, because they're powerful enough to thumb their nose and say, well, we're big enough to do what we want. So that's the difference between the penal system in the United States as opposed to Britain or Barbados or Trinidad and Tobago, that still, I think, has hard labor for some of the, as part of the sentencing for some crimes. But some of them get appealed as well. So it's part of the judicial system. And if we want to review it, the things we could look at, but we just can't decide that because we're concerned about gun crime or because we're concerned about rape, this is what we should do. I don't think laws should be haphazardly changed because, sir, until the shoe bites your foot, you may not see the reason for being lenient. I hear what you say. I know what the fears are. I know what we want to do, but I would not like to see us just haphazardly change laws because we want to penalize someone or something, or because we're frightened about what's happening now. We have to take a long-term approach to those kinds of changes. Brastax, good morning. Oh, by the way, just before I take this call, let me ask the gentleman who called about the well. If you can leave, call us back, and leave some information with John about the exact location of the well, because I have two WhatsApp messages asking about the location of the well, because one person wants to talk to the DEM and the other person wants to talk to the drainage unit about it. As a matter of fact, one of the persons tried to call, and I want to again say we can't take WhatsApp calls. The devices have been disconnected because they would disturb the quality of the broadcast. But we could take written messages, and I've seen your messages about the gentleman with the well. And just remember, you're 20 seconds behind us. So by the time I get the message, the person is already off the line. Yes, sir. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Moderator.
Hey.
And among those people that you're, among those programs that you're calling for, I endorse Lawyer on Call, because with a lawyer on call, he'd be able to tell us the difference between forced labor and hard labor, because there has to be a difference.
Yeah, I am sure they have to.
But anyway, and among those programs that you're calling for, I would like to see a cricket program that would involve locals, and not a cricket program that the locals can't get in, and they got all international people on that program. That's one thing, because Bajans know a lot about cricket. I play cricket myself. I play football. I play tennis. I play water polo. And I was a champion swimmer, you know. So I would like to see a cricket program come on the radio where locals can discuss cricket, international, regional, and local. I want to suggest you could go on my like Mike King, because he's an authority on any kind of sport, and somebody with him to manage that program. But anyway, let me move on. The lady was talking earlier about schools and that kind of thing, and I agree with her, because I went to Richmond. No, in my time it was affectionately known as Richmond. Now it is St. Leonard's. And I went to school with a man named Jeffrey Critchlow at Richmond, who became principal at Harrison College. Then you thought it would have been the other way around. A Harrisonian coming and be principal at Richmond. But it was Richmond going to run Harrison College. So I agree with the lady that says, it really don't matter who is the school. It is the intention or the will of the student to want to learn and want to move ahead in life. And I'm in total agreement with her. But no, my big thing now with you, Dennis, Mr. Johnson, is this. Some time ago, I was talking about the government preparing people to work on cruise ships. And I want to tell you, because I don't know if you know, and if you don't know, you could go to a CBC podcast. I don't know where you will find that CBC, but I am sure it will be in a podcast. They're calling programs. And the one that I had last Wednesday, they was talking about the blue economy. And I called that program, and I spoke about what I told you about on your program. And the goodly doctors that were there, and the minister, they all endorsed what I was saying. I said it made good sense. And as a matter of fact, the minister went on to say that what I was suggesting is exactly what they are doing. They're preparing people for work on ships, and not only cruise ships, but ships in the whole. You know, so I just thought I would tell you that, because maybe you didn't look into it in a very deep way, you know.
So my problem is this, right? I must tell you, I have a real problem with it. If the goodly doctors and the good people that you spoke to at the CBC agree with your suggestion, why is it important that I agree? I ain't nobody. I ain't doctor nobody. I ain't in charge of nothing. I don't make policy for the government. Why is it important that I agree? Sir, I am one of the most disagreeable people on planet Earth. That's just who I am. And there ain't nothing that can change it now at this stage of my life. I am always confused about why people want to convince me that they're right and I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. You have an opinion, I have one. You hold strongly to yours, I hold strongly to mine, and I don't try to convince people that I'm right or I'm wrong. Sir, they agreed with you, and I'm happy that they did. That's all. I got a message here, and thanks for your contribution. I got a message here that says, and it came from the minister, the land at the Bell will be multi-purpose. The real problem is there is no water. Hence, that's why it's being used for trees and fruit trees, and that's part of the plan. There's already an agricultural project at Dodds, We're putting in a plan that includes the prison and some private farmers so that you can get scale in production for livestock, crops, and fruit trees. I thank you for that, sir. I also know that under the last Chief of Staff, the Defense Force also had a program of growing their food to assist with the requirements of the Barbados Defense Force. And I'm sure it is continuing under the current Chief of Staff. And there are these plans that try to assist with the production of food in various areas like that so that it can be what we call food substitution for import. And having said that, I noted the back page of today's newspaper talking about the milk production taking a hit and that Kendall Plantation has dropped from 25% of the island's milk supply to 7%, and comments being made by my former producer and good friend Annette Beckett and others. Now, the problem that we face in Barbados is this. When we have these shortfalls in production, and in order to keep up with demand, the agencies like Pine Hill Dairy and others are given licenses to import to make up for the shortfall. And when circumstances change, there always seems to be a lag in cutting the imports and going back to local production. I hope this does not happen with milk production, because it has happened in the past. I remember going back to the years when Carl Sylvester was at the Pine Hill Dairy. He used to be on this program regularly talking about dairy farmers, supply and demand, what Pine Hill was doing. I know Sir Charles came on the program too to talk about growing fodder, and his brother was on the line saying that the land in grass, and his brother saying that the land should ripen. We had all these discussions about milk production and whether we should have more fresh milk in schools and whether evaporated milk was using milk powder from New Zealand. We went through all that. We just seem to go back and keep recycling some of these issues. So my hope is that when our milk production comes back up, we bring in cows, we bring in new strains, we get production back up, that any stopgap measure of importation to make up for the shortfall is quickly reversed. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Mr. Jonathan?
It is.
How are you, sir?
I am all right, and you?
I can't complain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, I got a couple of points I want to raise with you, right? But first, you spoke about the bakery in Glendale Prison.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had one this week, right?
Yes, I did.
Lovely.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I have to admit, I did. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, man, this is a good old sweet bread, boy.
Yeah.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, the land next to my house is a vacant lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those tamarind trees, the wild tamarinds,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those trees spring up over there. My boys did the best to cut them down, but these stump of them still there, and the roots of them now trucking in the yard wall.
Right, yeah.
I would like some assistance with that. Plus, I got a plum tree on the other side now that trucking in the house. But thank God the bad weather we had, nothing happened, right? But
mm-hmm.
afraid of it, Mr. Johnson. The tree, the roots of that tree also affected the house though, and my back neighbor is going to his groundsill, the roots of it. So I asked him to get some assistance with that there.
All right. What you need to do, I think if I recognize the voice, and I'm sure I do, I have the contact information for you, so I'll try to see if I can pass that on to someone who can help you with it, because I know the challenges you face, sir. And well, I ain't want you to cut down the plum tree, plums should be coming into season soon, and if the monkeys let you have a couple, you know. Anyway, the good old boy days when you used to be able to go and help people with their plum tree and thing. But the wild tamarind, the river tamarind, yeah, getting rid of them is a challenge. Once you got a stalk or stick somewhere around there, it's come back up real fast. Faster than anything else that I could think of. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Dennis?
Hi.
Okay, because I'm hearing a slight echo. You're hearing me, right?
I'm
okay.
Hearing you clearly, yeah.
Mm. Right. Hi, Dennis. I just want to be very brief this morning. I heard you saying that you might also be leaving shortly.
Very shortly. OCM says that ladies leave at 60 and gents at 65. David was 65 on Friday and he's gone. And my 65 is a whole lot closer than a lot of people think. So all the people who feel that I go in after big chair and big work and bringing out the gilpin and the... Yeah. Cutlass and the machete and all the other things, they could put it away because The only place I follow David is out the door. Yeah, right. I'm next.
The reason I am calling is because you also said that you all were looking at putting together new young talent, etc.
I think we should. I think we should, I said.
Oh, you should. Okay.
I think we should.
I want to put in a plug here for persons of more mature persons, age-wise, experience-wise, etc., a blend. I'm not saying all of one or none of the other. All I'm saying is far too often, radio, especially this type of radio program, which really is supported largely by persons over 40. And while you'll want to cultivate an appetite for the younger generation to listen to Colin, and some of them do, mm-hmm. I am saying you cannot forsake the bulk of your listeners, persons who would have built up your radio program by either listening or calling or whatever. And far too often, persons, not only in broadcasting and in the media, but other areas as well, seem to think that the answer is to push and plug for young people at the expense of more mature, experienced persons. And I'm always for a good blend and a balance. And I'm just hoping that whoever is responsible will seek to have new moderators with experience, more mature persons who have greater life experience, articulate, balanced, no political bias one way or the other openly, and, you know, persons who, the more important thing, because this whole thing about moderators, you know, sometimes I think persons coming in, I've heard new moderators say, this is my show and my show and my show. But sometimes they don't understand. You are just the vehicle sometimes that persons are using to pass information through. And I would just like to have a blend. I don't want to hear all of the young persons with, you know, and forgetting the older ones, because to be truthful, they don't have the life experience. And sometimes they are not well informed, but they will grow and they will learn in time. But we want to have, because your audience is a more mature audience, it should be reflected in your lineup.
In the lineup.
Please look at who you're going to bring as moderators. I think it's time for us to have your going. Look at what's happening. Look at the knowledge that's going, as they call it, institutional knowledge. David and you, in one blow, we're going to move experienced persons, not only producers, but moderators off the scene. You just can't revert then to, not revert, but, you know, in replace that with young persons. And you need to do careful examination of what it is you're going to put there and understand the role that the moderator is going to serve, especially in a time like this where you need persons who are knowledgeable and experienced to deal with the things that are going to be confronting us at a time when you have no opposition, you have policies being made that you need people to answer carefully and you know, knowledgeably. So I am saying to you, please, the call-in program is so significant, so critical for society in terms of dissemination of information, but at the same time, for producing, you know, a balanced kind of show to reflect the views of all sectors of the society. And we need experienced person there. Please don't go with all the young people. We want them, but you know, have a balance. Thank you so much, Dennis.
Thank you as well, ma'am. I made the comment to David on Friday in that, and he's admitted that he's, you know, he's moved around, he's listened, he's identified, and I told him he had a knack of picking. Some worked, some haven't worked, because the truth is you may find someone who you think is mature enough, whose knowledge base you think is wide enough, but they just don't connect with the public. Or when the public decides to flog them, they say, you know what, I can't take this heat again out of the kitchen. I've said so on more than one occasion. There are times I've said, the pressure of this is too much. I'm going to just go back in my shell and go back from whence I came, and it won't make a difference. And in my saner moments, I say, so what will you do? This is what you wanted to do. You wanted to be a broadcaster, take the licks. The call-in program is not all there is. There are other places where you can fit in. The truth is, though, that you have to like people. You have to want to talk to people. You have to want to listen to them. You have to want to share their happy times, share their bad times, take their temper tantrums, throw yours every once in a while, and hope they understand. So the microscope that you put under when you step into this chair is phenomenal. You know, people think it's glitter. I call it, what's the song say, John? They see the glitter and the glamour and they think that life a bed of roses, you the reggae man. but, you know, it's difficult. There's a wonderful lady who used to read the news on television. I must admit that if I ever carried a silent torch for a television presenter, that lady is it. And I remember one day she walked up to me in the supermarket and said to me, people are going to be looking at every single thing you do from now on. I didn't know who she was at the time, but we struck up a conversation because I knew the face. And she's right. You get scrutinized. You get things said about you that from people who have no idea who you are. They just know you're on radio. So there are people who can't take the heat. I hear what you say, but for the program to live, there must be a blend of the young, the not so young, the mature, and the maturing. And there are opportunities where the younger ones, or I should say the newer ones, because I was reminded that they're not all young, can connect with those of their age group, their background, and bring them into the program and then grow from there. So, yeah. As David said, he's working on projects. Who knows what the projects are? He likes the element of surprise. So we may still be surprised. Brass Dex, good morning. Hello.
How are you doing, Tish?
Hello.
Hello, not a magic.
Hello. Please stay close to the phone. Brass Dex, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
First time calling Brasta, so first time calling any program at all.
It's good to have
you. I have a concern. Mm-hmm. I'm calling on behalf of my husband, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My husband applied for his pension last year, February, when he was 66 and a half. He was 67 in August, to be exact, the 4th of August.
Good boy.
And up to now, he cannot get a set of his pension. Could it be fair that after, if he didn't get laid off, after spending near 40-somebody years in a company, and now can't get his pension? Every time he goes, they tell you a different story. Every time he goes, he gets a different story. Then I tell him, so don't even call back here. No, don't even go back out there. But it seemed like he went there, and I didn't know, and he's getting the same answer all the time.
What's the answer they're giving him?
Oh, you're going to soon get it. You're this thing at one time to tell you. Because after he gets sent home, he's on employment. He on employment. Then I told him, as long as you reach 67, your unemployment is going to stop. I'm wishing it did. But one person tell you it ain't done, and one person tell you it done, and all sorts of questions.
Ma'am, tell you what, right? Leave your information with John, the producer.
Sir.
I'll pass the information on to the one of the persons at the National Insurance who usually from time to time sends us messages asking to be in contact with people who have challenges. I'll pass that information on to the goodly lady. and I hope that she'll be able to give him an answer that will be a little bit more comforting than the one he's received
today. Yeah, because he got to depend on me, and he's only my one, and I got to do everything.
Yeah. That's why they say for better or for worse, I guess.
That's right. That. I told him so. That's because
you tell him last, the contract?
Last month was 21 years we were married, so I said, well, I got to do my best.
You got to hold him up now. Huh?
That's right.
Hang in there. I will try to get that information to them. Ma'am,
thank you so very much.
I'm glad that I am hoping that your first contact with us has a positive result. I really do.